Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast where players and GMs for story-driven campaigns. I'm Steve, and there's a freaking serial killer after me. Oh no, here he is!
Diddly! And I'm Kevin. Stab.
Ah!
Oh man, lick that blood. Lick that blood gush.
Oh no. That's too far. That's too far.
you don't like it?
Licking the blood, that's like, oh come on, man. And if you're killing, but now you have to like show off, it's like, your blood is mine. I'm crazy.
Dude, this is like half the appeal of like slashers.
Is
like,
it?
That
well,
almost
I mean, I'm
be,
not a slasher you know person, I guess, so.
Okay, to be fair, roimperfection@gmail.com if you're a slasher fan and want to let us know that we messed up, because I'm going to be real. I've seen plenty of slashers. I just haven't really, like, deep-dived into the genre, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was gonna say, but, I've seen, like, a few on your list here. Like, two?
Nice.
Maybe like, one in like, three quarters. But, yeah.
I know we've both seen Jason X.
I don't know if we have. I was gonna say Psycho is the only one that I've guaranteed seen.
Oh, yeah. Jason
and,
X,
and I think Nightmare
space.
On Elm Street I've seen some of.
Okay. With Johnny Depp?
Oh, okay. Maybe it's just one. That doesn't sound familiar. Like, I know I've seen Freddy Krueger, but like I don't remember.
I mean, there are like a lot of like all of these.
Yeah, that's true. I might have seen one of the other iterations of it.
You haven't seen Jason in Space? I thought you'd seen Jason in Space.
Doesn't sound familiar, no.
Oh. It's not good.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's maybe so bad it's good.
Wait, is that the, like, is he, like, frozen or something in that?
Yeah, he's frozen.
Okay, I think I've seen that, but that's all I remember of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so two, maybe three. Anyway.
I've seen significantly more than that, but I did want to cycle back to the blood thing, the gore thing. A lot of people love slashers for the gore. So
I mean, I guess that's true. I just meant like the licking of the blood is like that action. Like, it's not the blood so much as it is just like, I'm crazy, lick. It's like,
oh no, I said gushing. I wasn't doing it with the blood.
Oh, I thought you said you were licking up the blood. Oh, okay.
No. Not a vampire. This is not the vampire episode.
Oh, okay.
Now I kind of wish it was the vampire episode.
Sudden twist. We're changing the... We're altering the deal. Pray we don't alter it again.
Oh, jeez. I don't know if I could, like, full stop. I mean, I could do a lot of vampire off the top of my head, but, like, yeah. maybe some other October. Or if we decide to do, like, a random extra horror month, because there's so much horror content we could do. But
True. Yeah. And the supply.
But, we kind of dove right into the content. We've once again played. We played my kids on bikes game, and Steve's very happy and content with how everything's going.
A lot of attempts were made on my side, and I felt like I was doing a pretty good job. And I came up with some good ideas, and I still feel like I got stabbed in the back, because I totally got stabbed in the back.
I mean,
somehow.
You literally got betrayed.
I did.
But.
Well, to be fair, I threw that kid under the bus.
You did.
First.
You
threw it. So I totally deserved it. But I'm
to
like,
be fair,
how'd he find out? That fucker.
To be fair, you threw him under the bus deservedly.
Oh, yeah, true.
But much like most of this game, you all are very, especially you, are very gung-ho with very little information. So.
I mean, yeah. In the Kids on Bikes setting, we have like, I mean, they're kind of like flaws. Like, what are they? They're like... like personality things, and one of them I have is like I'm blunt, so like I'm playing that a little bit, and that he like makes some hasty decisions sometimes in a way, because it's not always easy to just be like, I mean, I can say like shut up Tommy I'll feel bad saying shut up, Tommy. But like sometimes it's hard to just be like, you know, to, like, have your character speak their mind like 100% of the time and not expect to get your shit kicked as a kid. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean they're flaws.
Well, yeah, but they call them something else, don't they?
Nope, they're flaws.
Oh, they call them flaws. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
well,
they call them flaws. So yeah, that went well, I think.
Well, I need to pick your brain on how the fuck you like weave that shit together somehow, because like it boggles my mind how you do that. So.
Oh, I mean, we're gonna talk about some this time. I'm not sure how specific I want to be because there's some stuff you guys haven't really found out.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I just meant like in general, like not specifically that session, but like there's clearly something you build up when you plan your session, and I need to know what the heck that is.
Oh, okay.
Do you have like the Necronomicon at your side and it tells you the answers to shit, and you're just like, ah, yes, I'm going to use... occult knowledge to put this together. Here we go.
What do you mean? What cursed. Do you mean? Ah, nope. Bad book. Down. You don't bite. I mean, what? Sorry.
Got into my hand. Got bad. Got real bad. I say that too much.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can absolutely do something like that. I think it might just be how I do stuff. How like.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm not sure how much of it is just like how your brain works, versus like how you like plan and set up things. So,
I mean, I've actually literally explained that in previous sessions.
Yeah, I
went into last
time
with an idea of where we were, what I wanted to happen, a bunch of characters, a town map, an idea of what you all do and how to push your buttons, and then I just went. And checked my boxes as I was able to, as I found the opportunity.
Okay.
So, yeah. that's congratulations, everyone. That's not expected in this one, but that's me generally planning in like a nutshell.
So you have a bunch of boxes with each of the characters' names on it, and each of those boxes has a bunch of balloons filled with their greatest fears, and you just throw them at them and watch them squirm.
You don't throw them at them. I mean, not all the time. Sometimes you throw them at them. Sometimes you let it float like a wonderful red balloon.
Space! I was going to say, we haven't seen any red balloons yet, thankfully.
Well, you haven't gone to Derry.
I mean, hopefully we don't now.
We'll see. Anyway, that's not what this episode's about.
No, it's not.
This episode, as insinuated earlier, is about slashers. And I did want to mention... Because I feel like slashers, well, first of all, they kind of came from like the mystery genre, sort of. I'll talk about it in just a sec. But our episode 70, Mystifying Mystery Episodes, a pretty good one if you want to like add a little something to your slasher, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, I was going to say like it, from what I recall of like the little bits of like other movies I've seen, I mean, Psycho is very... Clearly, that's like who is the killer? Who did it? And trying to like chase him down.
Well, Psycho, we'll get there in a sec. So, what is a slasher? A slasher is an unstoppable, nearly unstoppable, frequently unstoppable serial killer who does a bunch of murders. oftentimes, the difference between a slasher and certain other types of horror. Is essentially the focus on like the serial killer, like almost like we're supposed to root for them rather than the annoying teens, which honestly is the thing that turns me off to the genre more than anything, is quite often you're left with like a bunch of unlikable characters and maybe one okay, passable, bland character. And like,
is it the trope of teenagers or is it just like the types of teenagers they usually pick?
I mean, it is classically teenagers. So. So Psycho is not, obviously.
Yeah.
Psycho is one of the progenitors. It's not really a slasher. In fact, the first freaking act is a heist movie. A lot of people forget that. It's just Marion Crane stealing the money and then going to the motel. Like, that's the first act. It's actually a twist that it's a slasher. But then you get to Norman Bates and the motel. And that whole thing is the progenitor of the slasher movie, essentially. It's kind of like one of the early cohesive forms. a lot of people leave it off their lists because it really isn't, but it has enough hallmarks that I like to mention it, especially because, like, the next thing that kind of led into them are a bunch of giallo movies. Giallo is an Italian genre that's like mystery proto slasher into slasher, because it's technically still going, and like gore and like weirdness. I know that's not like a super clear thing, but like I've seen, admittedly, not as many giallo movies as I would have liked, but from what I have seen, they start off more like mystery with slasher elements and end up as like these psychedelic insanity fests. So
I'll say, actually, I've seen one of these that you have on here. I forgot.
Yeah, you came to that knock.
Yep.
You saw Deep Red.
Yep.
Yeah, that had a killer. It had a mystery angle around the killer, but
true. Yeah.
Yeah. I recommend that one. That one's Dario Argento, who is quite famous for going really nuts with a lot of his 80s stuff. Suspiria, I think, is his most famous, but that's not a slasher. That's just a weird ass fucking movie. but there's also The Girl Who Knew Too Much, by Mario Bava, in 1963. That's like part mystery, part Hitchcock suspense thriller. And it kind of kicked off the giallo genre, and it has slasher elements. There's like a killer on the loose, but it's still not quite there. Really, it's actually the year before Deep Red, where you get kind of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974, and Black Christmas, also 1974, where you get like more of the slasher genre. Although I feel like the focus on Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is just kind of because he's cool. Like, it's not, the movie's not intentionally done that way. It just kind of ended up that way. And the slasher in Black Christmas is like played down. So it's still not like quite there. But it is forming. A lot of people put those on there. A lot of people put some other giallo movies on slasher lists. But it's kind of interesting that you would think person crazily going and killing people would have been like a just forever thing, but it's not really. Like, it's actually fairly recent. Then, of course, we get to Halloween, 1978, John Carpenter. And I'm going to be real. All the movies I've listed off so far, Psycho, The Girl Who Knew Too Much, Deep Red, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Black Christmas, and Halloween, all movies I actually like and would recommend. funny enough, after saying I don't like the genre. Halloween focuses on Michael Myers. We watch him, watch people. We actually get like a decent character in Laurie, and her friends, while kind of stupid, aren't that annoying. It's just good. It's just like, it works really well as the prototypical slasher, I think, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, like, Halloween's the one that I've always heard of, even though I didn't know Texas Chainsaw Massacre was older, but
yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, Halloween's the one that like people seem to always talk about.
Yeah. It's because it's kind of the first, sort of, maybe. But yeah, honestly, I'd recommend them both. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, before I saw it, I was like, oh, it's just like gory nonsense. It's actually not. It's actually really, it's a really anxiety-filled movie. And you mentioned the teen thing earlier.
Uh-huh.
And The Girl Who Knew Too Much, the girl is a teen. Deep Red, I actually think it's more adults, to be fair. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, teens. Black Christmas, sorority house. Halloween, high school students. So, like, teens to 20s is usually the target.
And is that something you'd, like, dislike about the genre? That's what I was asking earlier, was, like...
Oh,
You dislike
no.
the fact that it's teens, or do you dislike, like, the tropiness of the characters that are usually in these types of settings?
I dislike the fact that they're usually assholes. they're usually okay. Just, like... Oh yeah, man, I got a party and fuck. Like,
it's probably to make you feel a little bit less bad about them getting killed.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, one of the main things of the slasher is you're actually supposed to kind of identify with them. They're quite frequently like have neurological issues or
past trauma.
Yeah. So it is interesting, and it's kind of what keeps the ones before Halloween from being true slashers. I guess a little bit in Psycho, but you don't find that out till later. But it continues on. Dressed to Kill kind of brings back the Psycho influence with a slasher. It's okay. It's Brian De Palma. I'm softer on him than most people. But then you get your Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. And those are bigger slashers, have the teens. Friday the 13th is like the purest distillation of a slasher, I feel like. Halloween has other stuff going on. Nightmare on Elm Street has its own stuff. But Friday the 13th is just like people, isolation, murderer. Let's see who survives, you know?
I mean, I guess that makes sense why they made a video game about it. And that's literally the same premise as try and call for help and try and get to the police car before you get killed.
Interesting. That's a weird way. Like, that's not what I would think of when I think of those movies. I guess it's not a bad way to think about things.
Yeah, actually, that's a interesting thing. It's like, I don't know. I haven't seen the original Friday the 13th, but at least in the game, as I recall, like there's a series of things that you have to do in order to call for help, and the whole time you can just like go around and like break electrical components of the building so they can't like call anybody. You can like sabotage cars if they're trying like gas up and fix a car so they can drive it out instead. There's like all these different like things that the player characters can do in it, and then as like the villain, like trying to sabotage them so you can get a little bit more time, so you just stab them a few times. So I don't know if any of that would translate well to an RP, but it's more than I would have thought now that I think about it.
I mean, the idea of like fixing stuff and figuring out escape routes is like an interesting concept to add.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it's not one, I guess it is focused on some of them, but yeah, I feel like it's not a ton of them that actually focus on that aspect, you know?
Yeah.
And once again, feel free to let me know if I'm just not thinking right. but as I said, with this genre, there is a focus on the killer, which is a little weird because, like, if you're running an RP of it, that means it's rather GM-focused, which, I don't know. I guess you could have, like, a really small game where you have three slashers and they're just trying to kill everyone. That might be interesting, but yeah. I do think you have to make your killer like interesting, you know?
I agree. I feel like you could take the killer and kind of like soup them up to make them like something that's like really terrifying. So you can kind of flex your, like, I get to have like a really cool, really strong character versus everybody else. But I think it would be more interesting if you had like, if you wanted to still have like role play elements other than like escape the killer type stuff, you could have the mystery, but you could also just have them like trying to be doing something in a place that they're not familiar with. Like they have to go to like this like long forgotten town and like try and dig up some information because they're trying to like, you know, maybe one of the characters is trying to find out who like their real parents are or something, you know. Like whatever that,
so
maybe
graft
like
another story on top of the
yeah. It's just that the killer happens to be like a side thing that's happening there, but they have to do like the two plots at the same time. That way, you still get like your typical RP, but you also get to have like your slasher.
Yeah,
at least that's how I would do it.
I think that's fair. I do think that at least from a GM's point of view, the Genesis should focus on the killer. You got to make sure to give them some kind of presence. You have to decide if you're going to go like masked or the more unusual and weirder unmasked, where you just kind of impart a different type of gravitas. I just saw Slumber Party Massacre, and while I don't think it is the best film, I did find it actually a little bit more interesting because it just decided to have like a crazy escaped killer with a drill, and it's like
okay.
He manages to be like fairly creepy for like just being a dude. So, it's a choice. They do have to have some kind of presence though. You know, they can't be like, they can't appear weak. They gotta come from a place of strength. Often you'll have like the signature weapons. Butcher knives are popular. Like I mentioned, the drill and Slumber Party Massacre. Freddy Krueger has his little knifey hand glove thing. And pedophilia. Thank you. Thank you, Nightmare on Elm Street.
What? I didn't know that about Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay.
Yeah, in the first one, he's a child killer. That's code. But it's rough sympathizing with Freddy. at least from my point of view, I know he gets wacky in the later ones, but yeah. The killer should also have a lot of cunning. You need to make them like really smart. And if there's any sort of stat thing in whatever system you end up using, they should have like really good stats, like better than the players always.
So. Yeah, I agree. I feel like in like most horror films, like it, not just like slashers, but like anything else, if you have like a big monster or whatnot, like when the heroes are like trying to distract it so that they can like do whatever their decided plan is as a group. And then the creature or the slasher in this case, like stops and is like, wait a minute, I know what's going on here. And they turn around and then do the exact opposite. It's like, oh crap.
Yeah.
That's when shit hits the fan. That's like a big turning point in most of these films, I believe. So
the better ones,
the better one. Oh, okay.
Sorry, slasher fans.
You
should think about the killer's pathology, perhaps have the heroes kind of discover a little bit about it. And then you have to make the call as to whether they're supernatural or not and how you're going to deal with like, you know, are they just able to take 6 bullets to the chest and like get up and run away? Or is it magic?
Combination of the two. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a bad idea. But once you have your killer kind of sketched out, I think kind of a lot of the rest of it should get turned over to the players. Maybe this is just me, but I feel like you need a small group.
Yeah,
because otherwise agree. You're gonna have players like dying and being bored. Unless you want to have like a group of 2 players and then you just have a bunch of other people cycling in to play a character who gets killed, which would be an interesting way to do it, I guess. But
I'm only going to be here for a day, so might as well just hop in and just be fodder.
I mean, you know, or one person who really wants to play like, I mean, I guess you could also have like 2 or 3 players and each player gets like 2 or 3 characters. And then you see, like, you know, they gradually lose characters, but that seems like it might be confusing. And yeah, that's an idea, though.
Mm. Yeah, true.
I do think they need to be kind of invested in their characters, though, and probably have linked backstories and probably provide a lot of the NPCs and the world so that your players care when the NPCs get butchered horribly in various ways.
True. Unless they, yeah, you know, they're like, we got to go to somewhere where it's like super populated so that, you know, like he obviously can't go in here and the police will step in and they go into a mall. And then all of a sudden the slasher's like, I'm like a fucking kid in a candy store. Oh, boy.
Yeah. The big city ones. We'll get to geography. But okay. It provides a different type of experience. So.
Oh, okay.
That's where you have fun with like. But the body was just here type of stuff.
Ah.
And there's a lot of cops getting annoyed. Yeah, stuff like that. Stuff that would never happen in a Kids on Bikes game.
That's a lie. That's I can hear the lie. I can smell it.
But, you know, there's always the other twist that one of the players is the killer and they have been, you know, having a bunch of fun with the GM.
They've been talking to M too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like something that you probably should have pitched to M back in the day. He might have been down for.
Maybe. I was less into slashers then and had seen fewer of those. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's still a genre I enter into with, like, pause. So, yeah. There's also, of course, the characters know slasher tropes and realize they're in a slasher kind of Scream style. Scream the movie. Well, the series. And I mean, that can also provide a twist on it, you know? They're trying to, like, use knowledge, which the players will be anyway. They're trying to use outside knowledge to, like, get it. Yeah. It allows a little bit more meta.
Okay.
But, yeah. So your players make the fodder. And I would say the early kills, because, like, essentially the way slashers work is you build suspense with a couple of kills that they don't find out about. Like, people just disappear. And then their bodies are found later. Or there's like a kill, but like it looks accidental. Or they're not sure it's like a serial killer yet, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So the first like 1 to 3 should be less meaningful to the group, I think. You gotta set it up. You gotta build tension. And then I personally would end the first session with like a big meaningful kill. Maybe a family member, best friend, something like that of one of the players to kick off the events. Boyfriend, girlfriend.
You just see like a knife come through, like a knife go through their chest or whatever. Chainsaw, yeah. Cut them in half, something like that.
Yeah. Arrowhead poke through the bed and through Kevin Bacon's chest. Spoilers for Friday the 13th.
I was like,
I think,
wait,
it was
what?
An arrowhead. What? Sorry?
Arrowhead? What? That's kind of weird.
They're at like a summer camp in Friday the 13th.
Yeah, but I mean, it goes through the bed and through his chest? That's weird.
I mean, it is a little weird. Like, the killer's hiding under the bed and, like, pokes it up through him. I think while he's having sex, actually. So.
Wow.
Which I guess brings me to my next thing. Escalation. Things should get crazy. Slasher fans love weird kills, so go nuts. Have weird, stabby stuff happen. And, you know, decide how tropey you want to be. If a player character has sex, does that mean they're dead? Who knows? That's actually a bit exaggerated, but...
Oh, okay. I was like, is that actually a thing in a lot of these?
Yeah, it is a thing in a lot of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. The final girls, the most, like, virginal stuff. Yeah. They're from the 70s and 80s. What do you want from me? But, yeah. Which brings me to what you've mentioned a few times. Geography. You are correct in often it is an isolated location. And I think it's important to not only have an isolated location, but to kind of maybe have them trapped, because having a city brings up a whole other bunch of like issues. And unless you have like a supernatural killer, which changes a lot of the rules, and you could then totally have it in a city. Often the sheer fact that they're kind of trapped helps with, you know, providing motivation, because otherwise, like, you know, these are RP players, right? They may be a little bit more savvy than like movie characters. So, you know.
True. Hopefully.
Hopefully. But yeah, kind of like we mentioned with Cosmic Horror in episode 115, it's really got to be like you have fallen into someone's trap type of stuff.
Okay, yeah. So like how Friday the 13th is at like a summer camp out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep, Camp Crystal Lake.
And I'm assuming like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is not like at like a cabin.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is they stop at this like isolated house in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Psycho's like an isolated motel in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. They built the highway and no one stops by the motel since the highway got built. No one comes off on this road too much anymore. Cabins are usually empty.
Yep. I bet they are.
Swamp's not. Weird Californian swamp. But we live in California. A lot of swamps here in Southern California,
oh, yeah,
right, Steve?
Tons of swamps, yeah.
Especially between here and Arizona, ton of swamps.
Yeah. Black is my favorite color in Magic the Gathering. So, I mean, yeah, there's lots of swamps here in California. Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a lot of swamps.
I would say the geography should also be somewhat meaningful to the killer to kind of help weave in a little bit of mystery, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like it kind of goes along with the territory of making something like very powerful. Like there's gotta be like a reason, especially if you're going with something supernatural, having like the location be something important to the villain or like, it's Jason in Friday the 13th, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jason's okay. Yeah. Doesn't like Jason like die on like the pier or something and, the original, and then like so he's kind of like haunting that summer camp.
He's thought drowned as a child. Yeah, he was
drowned as a child. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but with Jason, it's camp counselors were negligent, so he drowned. So he's getting revenge on the new crop of camp counselors and just kind of whoever happens to be there, until the later ones where he like goes to hell and fights Carrie and stuff.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, and of course fights Freddy Krueger from the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
I think I've heard of that movie, yeah.
Yeah, Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
Shame they didn't make the follow-up. Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
I like Ash. I don't know if... I don't know how you'd come out on that one on top.
I think there's a comic.
Oh, is there a comic? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, the big idea is the final characters. How many will live? I like the idea of how they will escape... Stuff like that. These are things you can have in mind as you're like building out the killer, as you're getting in backstories with the player characters and the NPCs, and depending on how you want to set everything up. If it's a supernatural killer, do they find a way to like supernatural them back into like not killing a bunch of people, or you know, stuff like that. If it's a regular killer, you can just kill them theoretically.
True.
And then, of course, the GM should always have just a random stinger where they're not actually dead to end the game. But that's more of just a trope of the genre. So,
well, I mean, it comes with the territory of having, you know, a bunch of sequels. So,
yeah, very true, very true. And that's slashers, man. They're very simple. I feel like they're great for like one or two offs. You get a little more complicated than that. You do need to like layer over mysteries or like another mission or like, you know, surprise old gods like we mentioned a couple episodes, or I guess a haunted house like we mentioned last episode.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's also like, how do you make the act of having the slasher interesting is just like having something else going on the side. So slasher is kind of like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, how would you plan a slasher game? Like, if you were to run one?
I mean, The Void Assassin is kind of a slasher.
I guess that's true.
So, for those of you who didn't listen to, I believe it was last Halloween's episodes where I talked about The Void Assassin.
We've probably talked about The Void Assassin a lot, to be honest.
We've talked about it a couple times.
Yeah.
The Void Assassin is a character that I came up with as a villain for my science fiction game. The Void Assassin is able to teleport through like void portals and like pull weapons from them, usually like throwing weapons or stabbing weapons. And he sucks the energy out from around him, so you can tell when he's around when like lights go out. Very, very slasherific. And the first time my group encountered him, they're stuck on a fairly small industrial space station that was like had a small suburb sector and then like a bunch of like automated industrial section, if I'm recalling correctly. And essentially, yeah, they had to kind of figure out how he worked and defeat him. Keep in mind, this is more of a heroic game, so it wasn't like full slasher. He did murder a few people, though, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say, weren't we trying to like turn something on or like send a signal or something, and he was like just kind of like there doing his thing, and then we got like caught in it.
Yeah, and then you had to shut the whole station down to remove his ability to draw power from the atmosphere, which you figured out was what was happening, why the lights turn off while he's there.
Okay,
and you got
him
to retreat without him completing his mission. So then he came after you at home the next time, and you guys were kind of trapped in your base as he went around. Yeah. So the way I would go about doing that kind of thing is I would build up my slasher. I'd build up their mythology. I'd probably have several like information seeds ready to go, like plot lines, like rumors that the characters can track down. Then I'd get my characters, I'd build out kind of the rest of everything, connecting it with characters as I could, and overlaying like, okay, who do I want to kill first? How do I want to kill them? And that's essentially how I'd go about planning each session. And then I'd have a few ideas, like I'd have an initial kill ready, And then like some other options, and then see how the players react, and then adjust my ideas from there.
Okay.
Which is kind of how I ran last session of Kids on Bikes. I was like, okay, this session is about them kind of beginning to explore their powers, although only one of you actually got to. Still had some unmarked checkboxes on that one, if I'm being real. But also experience other people's powers, which I wanted to do at least two, which I did check that box off. And to kind of get you familiar with, like, because they had gone into another dimension at the start of the other game, the first game. That was, like, where most of it took place. So throwing out and seeding some mysteries around that. And I'd honestly kind of run a slasher the same way. Throw out, seed some mysteries on the slasher. Have kills happen to let you know about and kind of indicate, like, what the slasher's like and that kind of stuff. And move on from there.
Okay. So if you were to try and do a slasher in, like, a non-horror campaign as just like a like one or two episode thing, how
so
would you handle
episodes?
Yeah, if you're just gonna have like a short thing or like a small arc for it, how would you handle like the mythos, like setting up the mythos and like relaying it? So I feel like if you're gonna have just like one session where it's just like that, it will feel a little bit rushed if you're just like all of a sudden like, oh yeah, here's the mythos of it.
If it's part of a longer game, you connect them to other mythos that you've already established. Like, for instance, if you were to run a slasher session of your Crimson Knight game, it would be connected to the Vutal and connected to a relic, which are the kind of driving things in that. And it would be us trying to, well, it'd be us trying to get the fucking relic from him, because that's what we do in that game. But
true.
Get the relic, figure out if it's the one we need. But we, you know, we'd be figuring out, okay, what does the relic do? How do we combat it? What's going on, you know? And I would have in mind, like, you know, do I want this to be connected to any of the players' pasts? Have any of the players encountered this before? That kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that's how I'd insert it as like a one or two off. And that's what I did with the Void Assassin. You guys are familiar with the Void as a concept in those games of mine, because it's a thing that just exists in that setting. And so this is just a new character using a power you guys are familiar with in like different ways.
Okay. Yeah, true. Yeah. I just didn't think about that.
yeah.
It's cause it made sense. So it's just like, oh, but he doesn't like have much of a myth though. So it's just like, he was just kind of there. But yeah. Huh?
Yeah. He has mythos.
It was subtle. So we were surprised.
I know.
Backstab, you could say.
Look, Steve, what did we say? We said being a good fiend is like being a photographer.
You have to wait for the right moment. Yeah.
So, yeah. Any other thoughts?
No, I think we covered mostly everything.
Nice. I've already given a lot of recommends in this.
True.
I feel like I like the early slashers. Some of the later slashers I like that I haven't mentioned are the Sleepaway Camp series. The first one is a standard slasher with an interesting twist, but 2 and 3, Sleepaway Camp 2 and Sleepaway Camp 3, are just gleefully amazing. You're kind of with the killer in those, and I think it actually worked for me for once. So, yeah, it's a weird series. I was surprised at how much I liked it. There's also The Candyman, which Candyman 2 and 3 are really bad. But Candyman, the first one, the 1992 one, and Candyman 2021, because they both are just called Candyman, those are both really cool and deal with like an urban legend, like magical kind of slasher. And they do interesting things with making him like sympathetic. So they're really cool takes that I enjoyed. And then there's a brand new one. X and Pearl from this year. Both of them from this year. And there is a third one called Maxine that's coming out probably really quickly because they're just doing a franchise. It's just Ty West and Mia Goth, and they're just making this series. But X is a bunch of kids. Well, not kids. A bunch of young adults in the 70s go to make a porno at an isolated farmhouse. They are
okay
for the most. Yeah. That's why it's called X, the X rating.
Yeah, so there you go. You get your sex that you need to have in here as a theme.
I mean, yeah, I guess I did downplay that. There's usually nudity and sex in glancing at my list. Almost all of these.
Yeah.
So yeah. And killings start happening, and I think that one's okay. Then Pearl is actually a prequel that gives the backstory of a very important character in the first one. And it's not quite a slasher, but I kind of like it because it's really crazy. So, yeah. Yeah. If you're looking for, okay, how do I do, like, a backstory? I feel like Sleepaway Camp and Candyman and Pearl are interesting ways of, like, all different, all interesting ways of kind of looking at, like, what is a slasher, you know? What is that character?
Okay. And like, structure as well?
Sleepaway Camp and Candyman. Well, no, X2. I can see X. That has some cool... That has... X has some really cool stuff with environment. Like, there is literally a gator pond.
Okay.
Yeah, man. They introduce it early, and the entire time you're like, who's getting gatored? Who is getting gatored? Someone gets gatored. Actually, maybe two people get gatored.
Oh.
I can't remember. There's some gatoring. But yeah. Also, the Candyman series and X and Pearl have likable supporting casts, which is something I treasure in a slasher film. Because a lot of the time it's like, oh God, these assholes. I guess I'm excited for them to get killed, but I also have to spend time with them. So.
You don't feel as bad when the bully gets taken out as you do like your best friend or something, right? So
yeah, I just feel like they're missing out on a chance for some feels. And I feel like with my recommends, the ones that I've mentioned liking, there's a little bit more to it. They're like the characters in the slasher have more to them, if only a little bit. But yeah, I think that's our episode, right?
Yep, I think so.
An actually normal length episode. Amazing. I knew we could do it, even in October. Next time, I want to talk about evil campaigns. And I was like, I think the Halloween episode's the time to do it, right, Steve?
Oh, yeah, that would be. Yeah. Have we done an evil campaign, though?
We have not. I know we've talked about it because like we've touched on everything. But I wanted to do like a dive into evil campaigns.
Okay.
Yeah, but be sure to play what you love. And until next time. May your characters do something. Let's do something. Ow. Steve. Stabbed. Why?
It was in the cards the whole time.
Damn swamps.
I wasn't even going there, but touche.
There we go, man. Stay out of the California swamps.
Damn California swamps.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.